Hello and welcome to another episode of In the Margins. My name is Eli and here with me today is Melissa. Melissa is a soon-to-be second-year psychology student at Wilfrid Laurier University. She is the 2021-2022 Vice President of Marketing for the Laurier Creative Writing Society and a person whose art is intertwined with her identity. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today. How are you?
I'm good. We had a nice warm-up chat and that was a lot of sounds, like S sounds, in that first sentence of your bio.
Yeah, sorry.
Second year psychology student. So soon to be second year psychology student.
Yep, I did not realize that when I wrote that. I didn't think about that. Whoops.
It's a tongue twister.
It's okay. A little bit.
One time for one episode, I had to repeat their intro. I think it was Gabby. Gabby, I had to redo their intro like 6 or 7 times just because I couldn't get the last couple of lines. I messed it up each time.
Uh-oh. Well, that one turned out pretty well, so good job.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, you listened to that one?
No. Wait. Yes, actually, I did. I listened to all of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really like your podcast.
Aw, thank you. You're welcome. One of 3 listeners.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. I have no idea who listens to this show. I don't know if I ever will know who listens to this show. It will forever be a mystery because Radio Laurier doesn't track who listens. So, I have a question about your intro because you wrote your bio for the most part, if I recall correctly. Yes. And you wrote that the last sentence in there is a person whose art is intertwined with her identity. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So there's kind of like 2 ways to answer this question. So like for one, a lot of my art is an expression of myself and like my emotions, and it often has to do a lot to do with my mental state at the time. So like I'll write or draw to work through things that I'm feeling often or things that are on my mind. So it's like an expression of that. And on the other hand as well, it's intertwined with my identity because the arts are just a huge part of who I am. And I couldn't imagine myself without my love of writing, painting, music, and dance. I also dance, but I do that less often. But yeah, I just couldn't imagine myself without art. So that's why.
You're like a quadruple threat.
Thank you.
You're like a casting director's, like, I was going to say something that probably shouldn't. That's not the right euphemism. metaphor. You're like a casting director's dream.
Perhaps.
So what got you into doing all these different things? Because you said you do dance, you do visual art, you do music, you do writing, and probably 5 million other things because you have so many different skills and talents.
Yes. That's a good question. I honestly don't know where it started. I really don't. Perhaps it was because like art and such were like subjects that I didn't feel like I needed to be perfect in. It kind of like came to me naturally, like doing artistic things felt pretty inherent to me.
Like you were always doodling on your notes?
Yeah, exactly. I'd always doodle on my notes. I would always be drawing whenever I could on whatever I could. I drew on the walls a lot. That's fine. It's fine. We're fine.
But that's what your parents are saying is like clean off the wall. It's fine. It's fine.
Actually, sometimes my mom encouraged it. We used to have like this wall that she would let us chalk on. That was pretty fun.
Oh, nice.
There's like in my old room at my old house, there's like a bunch of paintings I did on the walls. It was always something that I didn't feel like I needed to be perfect in, and I didn't need to feel like I need to be good at in order for it to make me happy. My older sister, she's very much so like into all the arts, and she creates art with like such a grace and beauty that is just beautiful, like is very inspiring for me. Like her dance was so graceful. She did a lot of like surreal sketches and paintings, and the story she wrote had like such a unique voice, and I wanted to emulate that growing up. Now I've kind of come into my own voice, which is pretty great. But I think that's kind of where my inspiration started. Yeah. And I, for music, my dad is a musician, and growing up, I always heard him practicing his saxophone, like the sounds like echoing throughout the house. And I just loved the sounds of his music. Yeah.
That's a really nice answer. That's really sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you've always grown up, like, it's just a thing that you do.
Yeah, exactly. It was never discouraged. It was always very welcomed, which is good. Yeah.
I imagine also you have a really big family, so they were just like, okay, keep them occupied. Just do something.
That's pretty accurate.
You have 8 siblings, you said?
7.
You're the 8th.
I'm the 3rd youngest, so I'm the 6th.
Oh.
Yeah.
And didn't you told me once that you were homeschooled, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How did you not murder your siblings?
The bigger question is, how did they not murder me? Because they wanted to, for sure. I was a little terror.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I was constantly getting myself into trouble.
I honestly imagine that.
Right? It's odd considering how mellow I am right like now, but I was very, very attention starved. And I would literally do anything to get attention, even if it was bad attention and I got in trouble a lot.
That's so funny to me because, like, right now, I feel like you're the John Mulaney meme of, you could pour soup in my lap and I'd apologize to you.
That's accurate. I totally would. Actually, nowadays, I'm less, like, I'm trying to be less, like, apologetic for something somebody's done to me because it's not the most healthy always feeling like you're to blame for something somebody else did. So yeah, definitely been trying to get out of that more. I mean, I'm still a super nice person. I'll still be a super nice person, but I will try to take less crap.
That's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing.
It is.
Did being homeschooled impact how you did art or how you think, like, do you think it would have been different if you were in public school?
I think it would be a bit different. For one, being homeschooled like allowed me the freedom to be creative. Like growing up, I wasn't so worried about like marks and like techniques as much. So there was no block as much when it came to like just doing the art, because I know now, like, I worry about like not doing it right or not being perfect. So it can be a bit of a block to actually get started. So I guess being homeschooled just let me have that freedom, and like it just allowed me to be more creative because I didn't have a schedule. I didn't have to worry so much about other subjects. I mean, I should have, but it wasn't my fault anyway.
Damn it, Mom. Should have put more emphasis on math.
No, she should have put less emphasis on math.
Oh. What should she have put more emphasis on?
Probably on writing and science, probably.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I got the writing down.
Yeah, that was a long struggle. I don't think I read, and I didn't learn how to read until I was like 8.
Oh, wow.
I mean, my mom did teach me the basics, but I had to really like work on it myself, which is challenging. I was going to say something else about how homeschooling. Homeschooling also affected my art in the way that it kind of has like an impact on my mental state and stuff. And it's kind of had an impact on my mental health overall, because there's a lot of kids. My mom had a lot of kids that she had to teach, and she wasn't there to like guide me as much as it should have been. So I'm always constantly feeling like I don't know enough, or I don't have enough background knowledge to do things to the best of my ability. So that's kind of difficult. And I often feel very, very, I can't remember the word for it. Oh, well, yeah, there's that. Very unsure of myself. Something like that. Yeah. So there's good and there's bad too, being homeschooled, for in terms of my experience with it, to my creativity and such. But yeah, overall, I'm doing good now. So
you are. You're doing great. Yeah. You're VP of marketing.
Yeah.
Jumping into that, why did you want to be vice president of marketing at the LCWS? I assume anyone who's listening knows what it is, because I've interviewed the most people. Who I've interviewed have been from LCWS. If you don't know, it's a writing club, and we do writing.
Yes. So the reason I applied was because I just really wanted to be more involved. I mean, I was pretty involved. Like, I was like sharing stuff and I was talking, which took me a while to kind of like work up to. Like, I had to wait until I was a little bit more comfortable for me to actually like share in the video calls.
Took
a while.
Mm-hmm. I found so Melissa is obviously a year ahead of me, and she's been there for the physical meetings, whereas I think, right?
Oh, actually no, I think we're in the same year.
I'm both first year, but we're the same age because I took a gap year. That's a long silence. Are you processing that?
Oh no, it's just funny. Okay, so this is so I think I'm actually older than you. I'm in first year, soon to be second year. But I'm a little bit older because I didn't go to high school until I was 16 instead of the regular 14.
Wait. How old are you then?
Good question. I think I'm like 22, something like that.
Good question. Okay, yeah, you're older than me. My birthday is tomorrow. I'm turning 20 tomorrow.
Oh, cool. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Birthday podcast.
Heck yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're older than me. So never mind then. But I guess the point was, speaking up in a Discord call is a lot harder because you can't have like those smaller conversations. It's always everyone hears them.
Exactly.
And everyone's talking over each other because you can't tell. It's hard
sometimes. There's the leg too.
The leg? Yeah, oh, the like, leg. Yeah,
like you'll have two people will start talking at the same time because they didn't realize somebody was talking first, because there's like a little bit of leg on the internet.
me and one of the other exec team members are constantly accidentally talking over each other because I guess we have the same sense of timing.
Yeah.
Right. So creative writing club. So you joined because you wanted to be more involved in the club. Is that because you enjoy the club or you wanted more creative space?
Sorry, what was the question? So I joined the club just so that I could do more writing, and like I just wanted a space where I could put the time in to do more writing. And I applied for marketing because I wanted to be just more involved and like feel like I will. I you know what? I don't entirely know.
Did it because you felt like it.
It pretty much. I also really like making posters.
Yeah, I was gonna apply for your job actually. I didn't think that I would get in. But you've been doing a great job so far.
Oh, thank you. I almost didn't apply because I was worried I wouldn't get it. I'm very unconfident. I'm working on it, I swear.
Yeah, you're doing great. At both the marketing and at working on self-confidence. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kinds of things do you write?
All kinds of things. I do a lot of journaling, and that's kind of where a lot of ideas start. They either come from like ideas that I just journal, and they kind of lead into like either poetry ideas, mostly poetry ideas, or story ideas. And then sometimes my ideas come from like dreams, because my dreams are wild.
Yay, they're like
very out there, but they're great inspiration.
Do you have any examples?
Any examples of dreams I've had?
Yeah, weird dreams.
Oh, I had this dream that I was this wizard, and I like fell down like this hole in the ground, and I met a bunch of like little tiny elves, and we went on like this quest to like, I don't know why we went on a quest. I don't really remember it.
Just went because you felt like it.
Yeah, over time in the dream, I kept getting like really cool like outfits and stuff. And I kept looking more and more like an epic wizard. Yeah, nice. I don't really remember much of that dream, but I wrote down part of it to possibly use as a story idea.
Nice.
There's some interesting aspect to it, but I don't quite remember it. Surprised I remember that much.
Yeah, it's hard when you have like a really cool dream and you're like, oh yeah, this will be so cool, and then you forget.
Yeah, exactly.
So you said you write long form and you write poems and you like writing experimental stuff. Do you have any stories you're working on right now?
I have like two stories that I'm kind of working on. One's like a more long form, like book kind of idea. That one I'm trying to put more time in because I want to. And I've kind of been working on it for like a really long time, like years, but it's been like on and off. So I have like the first chapter and like a bunch of notes and ideas for it. It's like basically all planned out, but I haven't actually written it quite yet. And that's something I definitely want to put more time into going forward. I was also working on another story idea. I think it's more of a shorter form. It actually came from a prompt from the Writers Club. And the prompt was like, come with me and we can change the world together. For the better, right? Yeah, I ended up creating these two characters that had like, I feel like they had like some sort of like really good backstory to them. Like they had like this connection that I felt like there was like so much more to unpack with their characters together, and so I've kind of been working on that a little bit.
That's so exciting. That was one of my favorite prompts.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
I whenever you keep writing that one, I want to hear more about it.
Oh, for sure. I'll definitely, when I write more of it, I will definitely share it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
So let's move a little bit away from writing and talk to you about, so you're also a visual artist, and so you originally have done like traditional art with paper and painting, I'm assuming, and all that. And you've transferred that onto digital. So how does that work? Is it the same as just doing the same motions, or are there different things you have to learn from digital to painting?
I mean, it's kind of like learning a whole nother medium. Like, digital art's kind of just like a medium, and it definitely feels different than sketching on paper or something like that, where you can like feel the texture of the paper and the pencil. It definitely feels different, and you get like different kind of work out of it too. But a lot of like the background skills, like practicing line art and stuff like that, you can transfer over to digital art, or at least I found that I could do that fairly well. But a lot of it is like learning the software, learning what you can do with it, learning like the tips to it. And I've honestly haven't quite figured out. I use a program called Procreate on my iPad, and I swear I learn like something new about it every day. And yeah, I'm like constantly learning new things about it.
Yeah, personally, from my own personal experience, I've found it to be a lot of the skills transfer over, but mm-hmm. some of them are very different.
Yeah, it's a lot about like experimenting too.
Yeah,
with what you can do and what works best for you.
For sure. What kinds of things do you draw? Do you draw like specific styles? Do you prefer classical art?
I draw all kinds of things. A lot of it like is doodling, because I like doodling. It's a lot of fun. I usually draw or do some form of art with like surrealism or abstract. Those are kind of my like two main ones I really like doing. There's just something so cool about what you can do and like how free it is and how ambiguous it can be, but also have like such meaning to it. And I also really like character art. So
yeah.
For digital art, I like to do a lot of character art. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. Do you have any characters you like drawing in particular, or do you do character design, like creating new characters?
I mostly just create new characters. I don't usually go in it with a plan. I just kind of draw usually. Sometimes I've in the past drawn like the main character from my book I'm working on, and I think I need to do that again, like more currently, because it's been a while since I've drawn her. But yeah, I like usually creating my new own characters, and sometimes I like to just use a reference and sketch out like a character from a TV show or something. I think most recently I drew a picture of Luz from the Owl House.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because a lot of people, they focus completely on drawing just people, but you draw a variety of other things, right?
Yeah, it depends on what I feel like drawing.
All depends on the mood.
Exactly.
Have you ever done the classic still life? And well, I guess would you have done? You weren't. They'd make you do that in elementary or so. I found or high school.
I did take a grade 9 art class, and in that class, I did draw a few still lifes. In fact, on my wall, I have a drawing of an apple that I did with a pencil crayon. And then I have a Cadbury cream egg that I like did with pencil art. And I have those on my wall because they turned out really good. But yeah, I did those in grade 9 art.
Nice.
Yeah.
I always found the hardest part was figuring out where your darkest darks were, because you could get to the really dark stuff really fast. Mm-hmm. But I would just make things, I would make everything really dark.
Yeah. When it comes to that, it's all about like building up the colors and the shades and the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Always do your lights first, which is my problem. I don't like doing lights.
That's fair. I kind of agree with you sometimes.
Just let me do my darks.
Yes, I quite like my darks as well.
You don't need light. It's fine. Don't need it.
Yeah, well, it can be very important for like depth and such.
Aw, who needs depth? Depth is really for cool suckers. Sometimes. Depth is for suckers. So you like drawing, and we already covered that. So I want to know, what does art and writing look like for you? Because you mentioned that you don't really want to do this ever as a job or something to make money off of. You want to keep it as a hobby. So what does that look like for you? How do you work around doing art when you're constantly in school or working or whatever it is that you do?
I think it's just, I want to always keep it like a part of my life and an important part of my life. So just kind of looking for ways to keep them a part of my life. Like writing down an idea while I still have the idea, or paying attention to the world around me and like looking for ideas and inspiration to use in my creative endeavors. Like the other day I was at the beach and I was like floating on the water. It's very cold, but it's fine. It was great. I love swimming. And I was like floating there. I'm like, I wonder if I can use any of this for like a poem or something. And like kind of just like paying attention to my senses and seeing what I can take from that to use in like my art, whether it be writing or whether it be art, visual art, or even like maybe an idea for like elements I can use in a dance or something like that. Just like always looking for ways to like continue doing art, whatever form of art I can.
Finding inspiration in the world around you.
Exactly.
You and are just such like an artist.
Thank you. And yeah, just making time for it, because sometimes I look back on like the stuff that I've written and like I was always like fixated on this idea that I didn't have enough time to do anything, to like do anything creative or to write. It's just like finding whatever time you can to do those things that you care about, and finding that time to like look for ideas whenever you can. Even if you like just write one sentence or one word a day, that's still putting time into something that I care about. And that's kind of how I always want it to be a part of my life. And I'm like not opposed to the idea of like possibly like publishing a book if ever I feel the confidence to do that, or like doing performances or anything like that. I'm not opposed to moving outside of just having it all in my own little world.
But it's not your goal.
It's not my goal per se.
Is there a reason it's not your goal? Like, not to say that it isn't valid, but I was just wondering, is there any reason in particular why you don't want to pursue it as a career rather than a hobby?
That's a good question. I think it's because I don't want to continue worrying about whether or not I'm good enough to like do it as a hobby, because there is so much competition in the world of art, and I don't like competition very much. It's not really something I'm interested. I don't see the need to constantly compare yourself or compete with other people. So I just want to like just do it.
I think that's a healthy attitude.
Definitely. It's definitely not comparing yourself to other people is definitely tricky to do in a world constantly comparing things to other things.
Do you think that we as a society place too much emphasis on competing with others?
I think so. Because, like, a lot of, like, markets are about competing. Like, there has to be competition in order for, like, the job market to be, like, successful or something like that. I can't remember where I heard that, but it was something along those lines. There's definitely a lot of emphasis in the world. Just, like, in how so many people become like perfectionists because they feel like they need to fit like this perfect standard in order to be good enough. I definitely felt that, like, even going to school, like that obsession with getting like really good marks. And feeling like your value is in your marks or something like that. It kind of stems from this idea of being perfect and competition and comparing yourself to the standard. I can't remember where I'm going with this, but yeah.
Yeah, just I guess remembering that I agree with your point. Like, everything, especially if you go into art, everything is competition, because and I think like things like teaching or being a programmer, yeah, you do, it's still a competition. You still have to kind of one up everybody else to get hired, but it's not to the same extent as in art. Whereas, I guess you could say there is, like, for example, if you're a writer, you're going to have to compete with so many other people to get the few spots that are in the publishing industry, or if you are a vocalist, you need to have something that defines you, something that will draw people in. And same with art. There are so many people online and there's just no solid basis for what exactly makes you popular. Like, there's no ladder to climb if you're an artist of any kind. So it's just so competitive. Everyone around you, you're competing with. So, if you didn't notice, there was a little musical break that we have to do because we had a bit of an internet outage. So now we are back and ready to talk more. We left off on competition and how art is hard in the business world because everyone's competing with everyone. And while it's great to be able to do art, it can also burn you out pretty fast and you have to climb up the ladder. So, and you mentioned you don't really want to go into that, but if you could have, let's say, all the funding in the world, and I could remove any barriers to you being able to create this one thing, what thing would you want to make to share with the world?
Wow. I mean, I feel like I have so many ideas and, like, I have so much that it would be hard to just pick one. And I feel like my biggest barrier is really just my own self-doubt most of the time. 'Cause like I can work on getting like materials and equipment and I can improve my skills in all those areas. I think the biggest barrier to remove would be like that whole like not feeling like you're good enough. But then again, I guess there's always going to be criticism no matter how well you do. Like, even the best get criticized. And it's not like, it's not a slight on them, really. It's just people like different things. So sometimes if they're reading somebody else's work, it's like, it's never going to be perfect for them personally. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Yeah, I don't really know what's holding me back in that regard then. But that's not really answering the question, I realize. I would probably focus on writing my novel idea.
Hmm.
Without that self-doubt, I would just, you know, plunge ahead, I guess. I feel like that was a weird way to word it, but that's fine.
No, I kind of get that, though. Yeah. Because I'm doing something similar, right? Like, I'm making a podcast, and now that I'm finally past, I'm getting to the point where I would want to get sensitivity readers and beta readers before I would gather mm-hmm. a cast and go. But the idea of actually doing that, moving it beyond me, is terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. Putting yourself out there is pretty terrifying.
Do you think it's because partially we consider as artists the work to be a part of ourselves? So it feels like if you get criticism, you're like being criticized yourself.
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it. It's art can be so personal and come from such a deep personal place within yourself that any criticism you get can feel like they're criticizing that deep place within yourself. And mm-hmm. like, it's definitely really hard to move past that conceptualization, I guess. It's really hard to still like continue forward and just do it when you're worried about somebody critiquing you as a person, I guess. But definitely something I need to work on personally is like moving away from the idea that they are criticizing me as a person, because I'm very open to criticism of my work. I always want to improve. I love learning things. I'm constantly wanting to hear that feedback. So
it's kind of a weird stage where you're like, I want to hear it, but also I don't want to hear it.
This is very true. I definitely want to improve and always get better. But at the same time, I don't want to have that initial reaction and feeling of like, I did a bad job, or they think I did a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But at the same time, fixating on what other people think is not the most healthy, because everybody's just like individuals in this world doing what they can for themselves. You know, everybody's kind of like living for themselves. So,
you know, you really have like the air of like a psychology student. Like, just the way you talk just feels like I'm talking to, like, before you get, like, your wisdom teeth yanked out and they put you under anesthesia, they're, like, talking to you in, like, a really calm, slow voice. You could be, like, you could, like, make a podcast for people who can't sleep and just talk about things.
I am one of those people who can't sleep.
Oh, okay. So you can do that when you can't sleep and then maybe lull yourself to sleep.
Yeah, maybe. That might be a good thing to try.
Can't sleep? Make a podcast. No, yeah, I would agree with you on that. And do you think that I don't know where I was going with that. I think I was trying to say was, what do you do when you do receive feedback, whether it's negative or positive or just constructive?
Usually when it's negative, I take a step back for a moment, because it's really easy for me to like fixate on that one negative thing. It can be surrounded by like such a like positivity and like you did good work, but then like that one thing, I can easily get so fixated on that one thing. So I try to take a step back and take the personalness, I guess. I don't know what the wording there is. Yeah, take like the personal feelings away for a moment and just like look at it as something that I can consider in my work and try not to believe that that one negative thing defines my work, because that's very easy for me to fall into. When I receive positive criticism, it's really nice.
Yes, send more positive criticism.
Yeah, I like being told I did a good job. And like constructive criticism, well, I can't say that word anymore, is great, because like I love improving and I love learning things. And yeah, I just love learning and improving and always improving. So it's really nice to get constructive criticism.
What do you think makes good constructive criticism?
For one thing, I think it's intention. So like negative criticism, the intention is to point out the flaws sometimes, but not necessarily improve on them or showing you how you can improve on them. And well, sometimes people are just mean, because sometimes people are just like that. Not that I usually surround myself with people who are mean. I don't actually get a lot of that because I don't usually put my work out to a wider audience, and I usually surround myself with good peoples. But yeah, like good constructive criticism is pointing out like what you could have done better, perhaps how you could have done better. And it's not about criticizing the idea itself, but perhaps like the technical aspects of it.
Yeah, how you go about portraying it.
Mm-hmm. Or suggesting like where you could add more to it to make it mean more or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had someone give you really mean criticism?
That's a good question. Not that I can think of, other than like maybe like my mom growing up, because she was like my teacher. So she'd be very fixated on like spelling mistakes and like grammar mistakes rather than like helping me see where I could improve upon the work or teaching me where I could improve. And also doesn't help that I'm a bit dyslexic. So sometimes I can't quite help spelling things wrong, because it genuinely looks like I spelled it right, but turns out I'm just like seeing it wrong.
Woohoo! That's exciting.
Yeah.
It's very funny because it's very funny to like be a writer who's dyslexic, because like your entire thing is words, and then... You just like,
right?
You can't word.
I just can't word.
Damn it, Melissa.
Yep. Darn.
Darn. Yeah, I remember getting, I used to write fan fiction on the internet as opposed to anywhere else that you would write fan fiction. That was not my best phrasing. But I used to write fan fiction, and I remember one time I wrote this one fan fiction, and surprise, surprise, the main character was actually a girl, because that was all the rage at that point. Hiding your gender. Yep. I don't know why everyone did it. That was everything I read. the main character was a girl, but she was hiding her identity. So that's what I did. And I and I had her reveal her identity, and in the comments someone was like, "No, this was my favorite, but now it's just another one of those Mary Sues. Oh, I'm so disappointed." And then I went, and 14-year-old me went, I was so upset and went to stare out in a field and contemplate life.
Oh no.
It was really funny, actually, looking back. I was really upset about it. But mm-hmm. I think that was actually where I, like, started being able to think more critically about my work, funnily enough. Even though it wasn't the nicest comment, it makes me crack up thinking about it now. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And, yeah, part of it is also, like, everybody likes their own thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's hard to, like, please everybody all the time. But I definitely see what you mean. Always, like, considering your work from a critical perspective. Especially when you have, like, characters like Mary Sue characters who mm-hmm. are, like, very surface level, usually, mm-hmm. when it comes to Mary Sue characters. They're very surface level.
Yeah, something I've noticed, though, is that, because I agree with you, but I think in mm-hmm. some cases, it's not necessarily bad to have a Mary Sue character. It just depends on the type of book that you're trying to write. And, like, fan fiction, if you're writing it for yourself, and you, like, who cares? I had Mary Sue, and I got, like, 100 followers on my story, so other people still like it. It's just that it's not going to be mainstream media, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely totally fine to just do things for the fun of it. And sometimes Mary Sue's are just really fun characters to write.
They are. Like, if you look at manga, most of the time, the main characters are just can't do anything wrong, huge plot armor, they're perfect, everyone mm-hmm. loves them. Like, they always have the superpower that comes save the day, or they know everyone, and so on and so forth. And if you like that, go for it.
Yeah. Sometimes, too, reading something that doesn't have, like, super high stakes is relaxing. Because sometimes you can get really stressed out when you're always constantly worrying about if your main character is going to survive or not. Because, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out that way in the end of certain stories. So sometimes it's just nice to have that character that you know is going to be fine.
Would you say, do you like, do you know what the isekai genre is?
I've definitely heard it before, and I feel like I do know what it is, but I can't think of what it is.
It's like character falls into another world.
Oh, yes. Like, I honestly love that trope. It's so much fun.
It's so fun to work with, and people are always like, everyone uses that. So what? Use that. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And isn't this what it's all about in the end? Just having fun, enjoying writing, enjoying reading. It's entertainment.
Absolutely. It's just fun, and I think a lot of Western storytelling centers around always having, like, these super high stakes and always having to have an antagonist and these well-developed characters. So sometimes you just want some characters to, like, I don't know, pick up a stick and sword fight each other with it. Like,
yeah,
just have fun.
Yeah.
So we have a little under 10 minutes left, so I'm going to ask you my last two questions.
Alrighty.
Which you probably already know.
I do.
All right. First one, is there anything we haven't talked about yet that you'd like to talk about?
I think so. I think I want to talk a little bit about the flute.
Ooh, yeah. Tell me about the flute.
I absolutely love it. And it's kind of funny because the reason I played the flute was because I couldn't play the alto saxophone in grade 9 music. So it was, like, my second choice. But I ended up falling in love with it. it was like, I mean, you can kind of do it with all instruments, but like there's something about it that just was like so connected to me. And it's like you can make such ethereal sounds with the flute. And that's like the kind of music that I really like, is like ethereal, like flowy music. I think that's beautiful, and that's like the kind of music that I love playing. And doing solos for that, where it was like the most amazing experience that I've had in my life, probably. I mean, like, it was terrifying, but there's something about the energy of performing that is just,
it's magical.
So enthralling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Magical. Yeah.
It's so good. Performing is so much fun. That's partially why I got into doing podcasts, and more specifically audio dramas, because I wanted to act, but I don't really have any avenues for that anymore. Mm-hmm. But the flute is also one of my favorite instruments. Like, it's just such a nice instrument.
It is. Oh, I have a recommendation for a piece to listen to. Ooh. It's called Hypnosis by Ian Clark. It is this beautiful flute piece. I actually played it for my final high school flute exam, and actually got 100%, which was surprising, because like I didn't play it perfectly, but the ambition and the fact that I did play it really well for how difficult the piece was, like, my teacher saw that and was like, yeah, 100%, good job. And that felt really great. But like, listen to this piece. It's amazing. It's gorgeous. And and I love it.
That's awesome. I'm going to listen to that, because violin and flute are the absolute best. I love them so much.
I also love the sound of the oboe, but my goodness, it's such a hard instrument for me to play.
Did you, so was learning how to play the flute hard? Like with breath control?
Surprisingly not. Well, the very beginning was a challenge because I couldn't make a sound.
Oh.
But the reason I couldn't make a sound was because whoever had that flute previously, and like you borrow flutes from the school, and it's like yours for the year. Whoever had that flute before me left the cleaning thing inside of it.
What?
And it was like this like cylindrical kind of object used for cleaning. Usually we just use like cloth, like a certain type of cloth. But I don't know why they had that particular kind, but they left it in there and couldn't make a sound. And I thought it was me, but it wasn't me. Once we figured it out, like, I was great.
That's such a weird thing to leave. Why would it be in there in the first place?
And the fact that I didn't think of checking and nobody else except for my dad thought of checking was kind of funny.
Did your dad? Oh yeah, your dad plays guitar.
He plays saxophone.
Ooh.
And like, he's definitely played like a bunch of other instruments, including the flute.
Taking after your dad.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've kind of made it my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instruments are cool.
They really are. I love them.
I should have you ever got, do you have an ocarina? I forget.
I do have an ocarina.
We'll have to jam out sometime. I have a god awful plastic one, and I know I can play Legend of Zelda songs, and that's it.
I have, like, one that looks like the Ocarina of Time from Legend of Zelda.
Same.
It looks so cool.
Okay, so me and Melissa are gonna, like, stop recording and go play our ocarinas together. But no, yeah, that's great. I love instruments. I'm gonna call you back, and we're gonna talk about instruments specifically.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
I'm down for that. I'm also down to just talk about poetry too, because I didn't realize until like this year that I've been doing a lot of poetry my whole life.
Ooh.
And I really, really love poetry, and I just recently started like buying poetry books to read them.
Nice. And
I love it. I didn't realize how much I love it, but I love it.
So Melissa and our VP of finance are going to be our poetry people, because me and Becca don't do well, I guess I do a little bit, but not enough that I'd be like, yeah, I can teach this.
Yeah. I think I could teach a little bit on poetry. I mean, of course, nothing I do is like perfect. But I like it. So
how could it not be perfect? I'm so disappointed in you.
I'm not.
Nobody's perfect.
Exactly. Nobody's perfect. And nobody's ever going to be perfect.
If you take anything away from this, it's you don't have to be perfect. Have fun with what you write. Do things you like.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. And my final question, anything you want to say to any creators out there who are trying to get into things but don't know how?
Sure.
If you just heard my mom laugh in the background, I apologize.
It's all good. Yeah, so my advice, which I've kind of been saying this entire time, is not let the idea of perfection hold you back. Your work doesn't need to be perfect, and that's totally okay. Especially if it's some, like, the idea of perfection is going to be that thing that holds you back from just writing or just drawing or just making music. I know personally, I have the biggest problem with pursuing my art and stuff because I worry so much about being good enough or producing something that's good enough or being perfect. And that's not what art's about. That's not what any of this is about. It's about, like, expressing yourself, however that might be. And it doesn't need to be perfect by society's standards of what perfect art or good art looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be perfect.
That's good advice. And especially if you're not sharing it, I wouldn't really worry at all about what it needs to look like, because if you're not sharing it, if it's just for you, who cares?
Exactly.
All right. Exactly. On that lovely note, thank you for coming to do an interview with me, especially on such short notice.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed it. I'm super happy to be a part of this podcast that I've been listening to since you told the writer group about it.
Aw, thank you. I really enjoyed having you here. I think we had a good chat.
Awesome.
And then we're going to geek out about instruments later.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
I could do that for hours.
Oh yeah. Okay. So stay tuned for another episode of In the Margins where me and Melissa just geek out about various instruments for an hour.
That sounds like it will be amazing.
It will be. This has been another episode of In the Margins. If you like our show, check us out at RadioLaurier.com or our Instagram page at In the Margins Podcast for more episodes. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.